And so we give you thanks for this holy appointed hour, for all of us to experience what it means to be a community called by the living God. Amen. After the worship service, someone came to me and said, "You know, Pastor, I can't distinguish whether you have prepared a 20-minute sermon or a sermon on the cuff or something like that." I said, "Yeah, that's true. I can't either," he said. And so we parted company. I think it was meant as a compliment, as a friendly reminder that when we are called by God, wherever we are, we take that full responsibility and we take that seriously in our own hearts. So when we talk about community and when we talk about being called by God, it opens up many possibilities, isn't it? It opens up the possibilities for receiving the gift of grace. And it also opens up the possibility of pursuing the gift of grace that God has called us. We are one body. We are one community. We are one in Christ. I was told that the hymn that we just sang just a few minutes ago was one of the favorite of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And so when he talks about community, he talks not only to our relationship as brothers and sisters in Christ, our relationship with one another in our communities, but most of all, he talks about how we are related to God and how we share one common vision. And he said, the arc of the moral universe is long. The arc of the moral universe is long, but it always bends toward justice. When I tried to understand these words, I realized that back in the 1800s, in the 1870s, when the United States was being torn apart because of the Civil War, there were pastors, there were philosophers, there were people who are concerned about the goodness of the land, of the world in which we live in, who reflected in a certain sense this kind of sentiment that the arc of justice, the arc always bends toward justice. We are one body. We are one community. As Jill has said, our neighborhood is no longer Schaumburg. It's no longer Hoffman States. It's no longer Hanover Park, Carroll Stream, or South Barrington. Our community is really where we are. You know, our notion of community is more expansive than ever. And when we talk about community, the language that we use are really theological language. We use the language of God. And sometimes when we say about the language of God, well, I cannot really talk about God. I think we should talk about God, because when we talk about God, we're talking about relationship. We're talking about how we truly care for one another. The language of God, for example, is front and center again. For example, in a sleepy little town called Wheaton, Illinois, where there's an evangelical college. She talked about the nature of God, that we worship one God according to the monotheistic religion of Islam and Jewish and Christianity. And then all of a sudden, she is in hot water because she talks about this language of God. But the problem is the paradigm of some groups in our church are so limited that you can only talk about God in one way. But if you move away from God talk, from that perspective, then that is seen as a threat to the community. When you think about religion nowadays, can you imagine that talk about religion can sow words of hope, but then it can also create division in our world today. But when we think about religion,
for the common good, we think about commonalities. We think about mission. We think about mission and ministries. This is what Jesus said. Whatever you do to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, we continue to do it for the King of all creation. So what is the nature of God's call? What is the nature of God's call? So let me tell you a real quick story, and then I'll share a couple of things about the call of Eli. Back in 1983, I was appointed to a small town church. Actually, Steve knows this town because this is his hometown. It's called Thompson, Illinois. On my first Sunday, you know, the district superintendent brought me to this place, literally in darkness. It's about 7 o'clock to meet with the Pastor Parish Relations Committee. So I have no idea what the land looks like, the lay of the land. And I said yes to this commitment because this is where God calls me. And then all of a sudden, 2 weeks later, as I was driving down, it used to be called I-5, now it's called I-88, driving towards the town, I was surprised because all I can see before me are cornfields, soybeans, and what else is there? Barns, red barns. My first Sunday was really interesting. Because I was driving a 1979 two-door Pontiac with a lot of rust, and it's an eight-cylinder vehicle, and it's it guzzles up a lot of gas. And I knew I had some problems with the transmission, but this is my first Sunday, so I suited up a three-piece suit on a warm, hot, muggy day. I think my first Sunday was June 15. And the temperature was 90 degrees. I left the parsonage, drove down the country road. Not far from the parsonage, the car broke down. I can only go in reverse. How can I do that? I've got another 9 miles going to my first church. How can I do that? Can I go in reverse for 9 miles? What I did was to drive back a couple of miles and hope I can get a ride in the country store. So I drove back for another 2 miles. You know how difficult it is, right, to drive 9 miles. So I was driving back 2 miles until all of a sudden someone stopped me. And I said, well, I need a ride to go to this country church. I said, why are you driving backward, Pastor? You are supposed to be driving forward. But I said, well, I need to get to this church. And so I think about my call. Sometimes when we follow God's call, we think, well, we need to go backward. But instead, we are invited to go forward. But how can I go forward if there's no one to tell me or to help me get there? So he said, Pastor, get in my vehicle. I'll take you to this church. So I did, nervously. So I sat in the front seat, and I didn't realize that I were pulling away. There was a cold, something cold in my neck. Found out it's a German shepherd greeting me. It was hot, but it was cold. But I was very silent and obedient all the way through. But the nature of our call is like that. Unless someone helps us, unless someone leads us, unless someone explains to us what the nature of our call is, you know, we're not making any type of community. And so, for Eli and Samuel, Eli was an old priest and Samuel was a young apprentice. The word of the Lord was rare during those difficult times for 400 years. The word of the Lord was rare. So, he was called three times. The first one, Eli said, go back to sleep. The second time, okay, go back to sleep. I think you are dreaming. And I think that's what happens sometimes in our community. When we receive a call, whether it's a call to act justly, to be compassionate, a call to move and to hear the sufferings of our other people, isn't that the most convenient thing to do? Go back to your own place. Go back to your own country. Go back to your own community. We have heard that. We have heard that comments in one place or another. Go back to sleep. You know? And so Samuel was sleeping right there near the tabernacle where was there was a chest or a covenant chest which contains the relic from the tablet. And so he was guarding that. Go back to that place. You are dreaming. And finally the third call came. And he came back, went back to the priest. And Eli said, when God calls you, you need to listen to him and allow God to speak to you. Our nature of our calling is like that. You know, we need to listen to one another with respect and to use words that remind us of the goodness of God in our world today. Because our call is really unique. To be present means to be in the image of God and to reflect your call. Our call is also unique because we are called for such a time like this. Can you imagine if the early people called Methodists and the early Christians were not doing their relationship with God in a committed way, where would we be today? I read that during the plague, a lot of people went back to the hills to escape the madness and the plague and the illness in the city. But who stayed behind? It was the Christians. It's the brothers and sisters, those who have received the call. They were the ones who ministered and shared the goodness of God. When we understand our call, we realize that our call is complex. We say we belong to this, we belong to that, we belong to one community, we subscribe to one philosophy or one theology. We have multiple belongings. And I think if I ask each one of you today, you may come up with many different ideas of your allegiance, your passion, the joys that you have. And I think that's something to be celebrated. Because when God calls us, it's a catalyst. It's a catalyst for action to move us in a certain direction. So when peace and justice are spoken, they are not something that we attach at the end of our mission statement to make us feel good and relevant. When we talk about peace and justice in our calling as our God is to receive peace as shalom. Salam is peace. God's grace is peace. And finally, today is actually the lecture that I'm reading is from the book of Luke, talking about the baptism of our Lord. With you, I am well pleased. The scripture says the heavens were torn open. It means it was broken open. And they heard a loud voice from heaven about Jesus Christ and his relationship. I found something interesting about the word to tear open. It's interesting when you look at the Bible, you always receive different understanding. And the commentator says, when you think about the heavens being torn open, it is a violent image. It's a radical image. Remember when Christ was hanging on the cross, the curtains were torn open as well. And the word to tear open means to open up the reality that God is creating a new thing in your midst. Out of chaos, God is talking about order. It's interesting also that word to tear open is also a term used for those having difficulty with personality issues, relationship. The word tear open, the root word, is also the term used for schizophrenia, to tear open. When your world, your ordered world is suddenly
torn open by demons or thoughts that you cannot control. But the good news is, out of chaos, God gives order. And so Eli told Samuel, go back and listen to the word of God. And Samuel became the greatest prophet in the history of Israel because he allowed God to speak to him. He allowed God to call on God's people to experience the goodness of God. And so on this Sunday, when we worship and when we think about the world in which we live in, I believe that we have a good word to share to God's people today, to pursue the path of peace, to seek healing, to seek wholeness, and to offer the grace that God alone can give. Let us pray. O gracious and holy God, we thank you because you are the one who intervenes in our lives. And when you speak to all of us, you speak words of grace, words of justice, and words of freedom. And thank you for reminding us that the call is real, but when we follow that call, even though that call may lead us to different and difficult times, when we follow that call, it is in perfect obedience to your holiness and to your will. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.